Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no educational value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only.
Welcome to another edition of That Riot Show. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo, Larry M.
You ever see a steam pipe when too much pressure builds up in a boiler or something? What happens?
Are you saying that little pipe over there?
Yeah, that blows off steam.
Really?
The relief valve. Phil's an engineer. He understands. Has a relief valve. Why do you think God gave you a dick? It's to avoid stress, man. He needs a blowjob. But not just any old blowjob.
Isn't that funny? Women cause stress, and then they can relieve it.
There you go.
This is fucked up. Now, work up all your science. Very good. Quickly, we're going to give you two in a second. Then work it up. Look at you.
Yep.
Okay. 1 in 15. They had an abstinence policy, but 1 in 15 for me.
Yep.
Go.
I'll tell you exactly what it is from a scientific standpoint. I'd be happy to. You know what it is? You can't stop teenagers from fucking.
This is fucked up.
I know I'm getting old. This very week, I've sat on my balls twice.
This is fucked up.
Unfortunately, on this visual medium, you have to put up with this. Look at this. See? Larry, feel that.
No.
Oh, you're gay.
This is fucked up.
Hey, Phil, what kind of time we got left? Hold, I can't see it from here. What you got? 10 minutes? Lucky for you folks, there's 10. Whoa, what did you have for dinner? Jesus Christ, that belch.
Jesus Christ, I got
it. Oh,
I got
it. Whoa. Smells like a Mexican's ass. Whoa, what the hell's going on? Oh.
This is fucked up.
All right, welcome to this episode of The Riot. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo, Larry M.
All right. And Larry, summertime's fast approaching, which means it gets to be a bit of a slower news cycle around these days and weeks. Yeah. But as always, we will be able to talk about whatever scraps of information might be out there.
That's right. And by scraps, we mean Donald Trump's taint.
Yes.
His worthlessness and the entire horrible choices that we have.
We'll get into that.
The dog days of summer are coming.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. But before we do that, let's throw out a little bit of pimping. The first thing I want to do is let everyone know that if you want to get all the backstory on this program, show synopsis, past episodes, go to thatriotshow.com, thatriotshow.com. Just check it out. You're going to see all of our past doings there. Also, you can go to our social media outposts, Larry. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/thatriotshow. You could also check us out on Twitter, which is actually my favorite social media outlet. Twitter.com/thatriotshow. Twitter.com/thatriotshow. Larry always good for a little bit of action on the Twitter.
Yep. I know you love, what is it, tweeting?
Tweeting, yes.
Yes.
Larry doesn't know a tweet from a twat when it comes to, the twat part he understands, but I don't know about the tweet part.
Yeah, but even that's becoming, I don't know what that is. I mean, that might as well be an Instagram Snapchat.
All right. So that's our little bit of pimping there. Yeah. As usual, I'm going to ask Phil to roll the Scroll-O podcast behind us. Check us out on your favorite podcast platform. Player FM, iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, Podomatic, Mixcloud, TuneIn. I'm sure I'm forgetting some of the better ones out there. Podomatic, but check us out anyway. Anywhere you can find quality podcasts, you'll be able to find The Riot. And Larry, let's start off with, I guess, what the top sort of news is of the moment, and that would be the airliner.
Yes.
Egypt airliner I guess, I don't want to say shot down, but...
at this point, crashed.
Crashed. You know. What's the info on that? What's
at the time of this filming, the latest is that the Egyptian military has found debris from the plane 180 miles north of Alexandria, Egypt, and they're starting to sift through it right now, and they're leaning towards terrorism as a reason, but they don't know if it was mechanical failure or terrorism or what. And right before we came on the air, there were news stories about the smoke sensors detecting smoke before it started to lose control.
Yeah,
it kind of sounds to me like maybe somebody put something on
the maybe. I mean, it's hard to say, but typically if it's a bomb, you're not going to get smoke detectors going off, typically. So usually that means a fire of some sort.
Yeah.
And that could be an electrical short. It could be something like that. So I don't know that, you know, whenever you hear of a plane going down and there's savages around, you tend to say terrorism, right? I mean, that seems to be your first inclination. In this particular case, I don't know. I would have thought that.
I think that a plane goes down anywhere.
Yeah, well, that's the
it
first.
It doesn't have to go down around Cairo.
Right. You know, only if you're Barack Obama do you think it's not terrorism automatically. Right. But in this particular case, I think that it probably wasn't terrorism if the smoke information spread out. Only because I think that terrorists typically, they're either taking over the plane with guns, in which case you would have heard something, I'm assuming, on the voice recorder. If they found it, or you know, if they got that sensor information, or B, they blow things up, even if it's a carry-on bomb, right?
Yeah, like that Russian plane.
Like yeah, right.
Like they theorized that the bomb was inside like a soda can.
Right, exactly. So that sort of thing usually doesn't smoke before it goes off. You know, it just goes off.
No,
you know,
but since we don't know what happened, we don't know. What kind of, it could have been some type of incendiary device.
It could have.
Or it could just be old-fashioned
mechanical failure. Yeah.
Unfortunately, for these people, terrible. But
yeah, I mean, when I was a kid, one time, by kid, I mean like maybe 10 years old, Larry.
Okay.
The family had gone on a vacation to Greece, you know, for the summer. This was in the mid-70s, I'd say. And on the flight back, I looked out the window.
No.
And I actually saw one of the engines on fire.
Oh, really?
No. So, you know, they had to shut down one of the four engines coming back, like, over the Atlantic. It was very scary. But, you know, like they say, most 747s can land on three engines very easily. It's not like... I know you've taken flight lessons, so, you know, it's you know, you can make it on three engines. It's not a problem. But, so they shut it down, and thankfully it didn't spread or anything like that. And what I'm saying occurred, I think, in 73 or 74. So we are talking almost 40 years ago. So I'm sure the technology has progressed. You know, planes are safer. But it just goes to show you that sometimes shit happens. It's just like, you know.
It could have been a terrorist attack.
It could have been a terrorist attack. It could
back
have been
then, before anybody even knew what terrorist attack was or even cared.
Yeah, right? But I think this one, like, as much as I'm one of the first people to always suspect terrorism,
yeah, sure.
I think in this particular case, maybe it isn't. I don't know.
It might not be. Do you know who says it definitely is?
Oh, I think I could take a good guess.
Go ahead.
King of the Rubes.
Right. Trump says, if you don't think it's terrorism, you don't know what you're talking about. Mika Brzezinski, fuck you.
Yeah. Look, I have to try to be fair, even when it comes to Trump. Even when it comes to Trump, I have to at least try to be fair. Like, for him to jump to the conclusion that it was terrorism is probably a refreshing change from the liberals like Obama or Michael Bloomberg.
Who want to blame white people.
Who want to blame anything but terrorism. So, you know, like, we've told the story. Here in New York, when we had that Islamic... jihadist or whatever the fuck he was who put the bomb in the car in Times Square.
Oh, yeah.
Bloomberg, and I mean, within 5 minutes of the incident, Bloomberg got on and said, you know, actually it's probably white militiamen.
Yeah.
You know, people who are sick and tired of, you know, like, going out of his way, it wasn't even like saying, well, let's not jump to any conclusions. You know, he didn't even go that route. He went the route of just like, well, let me find something that is the furthest removed from Islamic jihadists. And he thought of white guys in Montana coming to Times Square to blow up a fucking car that literally we were having lunch 20 feet away from me. I was 25 feet away. So, you know, so or Obama, who when he's told of a terrorist act, decides he's either going to go to a ball game or play a round of golf. So, you know...
Yeah, or even a few weeks ago, he was hosting Hollande, the French president. And during his comments, he's making the comments in French. But when he made the comments, he referred to Muslim extremism, and they deleted it from the official like posting on the site. Then they put it back and went, oops, we didn't need to do it.
when critics say, oh, Trump is the logical sort of... the logical conclusion of the Republican party's politics and shit like that. Perhaps. But how can you minimize the anger that builds up in people over incidents like this? Like, here you have something that it may turn out to be terrorism, but more than likely, or at least you're not an idiot if you think it might be terrorism, right?
Well, ultimately, the other thing with it, sorry to cut you off, it's just, there's only two things it can be.
Yeah.
It's either going to be terrorism or some type of mechanical failure. Unless you get that wacky thing like that
the
one
pilot,
guy who decided, all right, I'm going to commit suicide.
Right.
Oh, everybody else back there? Fuck you. I'm taking you with me. I mean, unless it's that.
Yeah, so it's three things. Human error, mechanical error, or terrorism, which is a form of human
something a human
error.
Being does, is something that mechanical or terrorism.
Right.
So the problem with this, he's already jumped out that it is. Because, and I know why he's doing it, because he wants to prove how smart he is. And he's showing everyone, he's going to be forthright, he's going to be aggressive, he's going to go out there. The interesting thing will be, now with the smoke sensors, what's he going to say if it actually turns out to be just like a mechanical
thing? So that's the problem, right? So he's making a calculated bet that it'll be terrorism, and he'll sound like a genius, not realizing that it's probably terrorism to begin with.
That's a simple enough conclusion.
It's a simple enough guess, or a high, it's a good risk to take. But I have to ask people, like, in general, don't you think that the rubes flocking to Trump is in part a reaction to what you're seeing, like when liberals refuse to name terrorists as being terrorists, when they refuse to acknowledge savagery, when the first response to terrorism, like we saw in Paris and with Charlie Hebdo and all these things, the first reaction of liberals in this country is to avoid Islamophobia, to avoid saying Muslim terrorism.
Right.
How long did it take the Obama administration to classify the incident in San Bernardino as terrorism?
Right.
It took them like 6 months.
Yeah, they started off with workplace violence.
Yeah, they still haven't. I believe they haven't classified the Fort Hood incident as terrorism. They've classified that as domestic violence, or I'm sorry, workplace violence. Okay? So, yes, there are plenty of rubes out there that are blindly following the siren call of the Drumpster, but the truth of the matter is, liberals, look at yourselves, because 8 years of this nonsense, at least 8 years, if not longer, of this nonsense where, you know, like a coordinated attack on Paris is a reason to espouse on the benefits of not jumping to Islamophobic conclusions, you know?
Right.
It's like, this is what Joe Cat, Joe White Trash, finds appalling and runs to someone like a Trump.
I mean, I have to tell you, I find it appalling too, but my conclusion isn't to vote for Donald Trump as a result, but it is appalling.
Yeah,
that you could
absolutely have,
like, the attacks in Charlie Hebdo and the attacks in Paris, and, like, you know, they had the big rally for, like, unity over there, and Obama didn't even go to it.
Yeah.
Remember that? They had the big rally over there, he didn't go, he's citing security problems. Then the attack, 130 people in Paris, and then there now these attacks in the Belgian airports, this thing, and it's just an ongoing thing. And, like, how do you not call it what it is? And what I really find appalling about it is, you know, if it's the Nazis, whenever they're talking, they have no problem identifying as Nazis. Here are these fucking crowds, they're Nazis, blah, blah, blah. If it's the Mafia, they're Italian, we know it. If it's anything, the Westies, they're Irish, we know it. The Yakuza, they're Japanese, we know it. Like, anything else in this world, but especially if it's directed at, like, white people, you know, they're more than happy to tell you why they're evil and they're horrible. They'll call it what it is. They'll call a spade. But for some reason, they're still pushing this narrative that they don't want to say Muslim radical or Muslim extremist because it will insult the sensibilities of moderate Muslims, my favorite oxymoron, who are out there, all six of them, and they're, like, secretly supporting us and they're helping us. You know, there's a real problem going on because you know what underlines this? There's a guy right now, he's under arrest by the FBI, he's from New York. I forgot his name, Muslim guy, actually very educated, went to one of our best schools, joined ISIS last year,
right?
Escaped, came back, saw him on the news today, worst decision of my life, they're evil, he goes, the things they're doing are barbaric, they had heads on poles, heads on spikes, he talked about, like, what they're doing to women and girls, ghastly, so he escapes, he comes back here, he's trying to cut a deal with the feds. He's still going to have to do some jail time. He's trying to help them tell, like, where he was and how he got there and all this stuff. And his message to everybody is don't fall, you know, don't believe the hype.
Yeah.
Don't go and join ISIS. That they are just savages. And what I don't understand with Bernie, Hillary, Barack Obama, they're all avoiding calling it what it is. You know, it's just stupid. I know you think you're fighting racism by doing, you're fighting bigotry and the modern Muslim thing, but it's crap. All right, it's just crap. Look, what you do is you call it what it is. Now, of course, to balance that out, it doesn't help when all the Republicans had to offer was during the cycle was Ted Cruz, we're going to see if sand glows. What the fuck does that mean, you idiot? You're supposed to be the president. You know why it matters? Because even with Trump, we're going to be very tough on ISIS. We're going to bomb the living crap out. You know, that is stupid for so many reasons. I don't want to take up so much time, but it's stupid for so many reasons. This is a very complicated matter.
Yeah.
And you need to understand like the difference between like Sunnis and Shias. You need to understand that they're like committing genocide against the Yazidi people. Lara Logan, that woman who got raped in Egypt. Remember she got attacked?
Yeah.
She was back on 60 Minutes a week or two ago. She did an entire piece on what ISIS has been doing to these people, just destroying them. And the problem is they're taking over towns in Iraq and in Syria, and they're completely destroyed. They showed pictures of what they used, so they were livable.
Yeah.
Now, with all the fighting, and even from our airstrikes, it's one of the reasons why all the people just left and started heading for Europe, because their cities and their towns have been completely destroyed. The problem with just flattening it out is, what are you going to do with all these people? You're going to create another crazy refugee situation. Yeah. They're going to go somewhere. They can't live there if you bomb the crap out of it just to get rid of ISIS. So the problem is, this is very nuanced. We need to understand the economic impact that they're getting money from illegal oil. And the thing that drives me crazy the most, the biggest criticism that the Obama people had and Hillary had of Bush back in 2008, we're losing the intellectual battle. We're losing democracy versus ISIS and their caliphate, like all that stuff, you know.
Right.
Not ISIS so much at the time, but the idea that to Al-Qaeda and these groups and the Taliban, how are we losing the battle of the ideas? That's how they framed it.
Right.
So you know what I say to Obama and all, how are we losing this battle to ISIS that they're winning over converts in the West, like left and right?
Yeah.
It's very complicated. And we have one party saying, we're not going to call them names. We're not going to call them, you know, we're going to be oversensitive, hypersensitive. And then we got the other people, well, we'll just bomb them.
Yeah. There's a happy medium in there, you know, and really what it comes down to is, like, look, ISIS in itself, just to put a cherry on the sundae, so, as it were, their new way of executing prisoners and just anybody they run across. Now, did you hear this, Larry? Did you read about this? Is just dipping people in sulfuric acid while they're still alive.
Yeah, Jesus.
And it's carefully calculated to instill the most terror and shock that they possibly can into the West. You know, that's why they burn women and children alive in cages, like they did to that pilot. That's why they chop heads off with rusty knives. A chop is, like, too kind. You know, they saw people's heads off.
Okay? I don't want people to get the idea. I had to tell this to a guy. I said, I don't want you to get the idea that this is like France and the
guillotine,
that it comes down, and even though it's a horrible thing,
it's quick.
It's over. It's done. You probably don't even feel much if somebody did it that way, because you're just booking your heads off. We're talking about people standing there and cutting your head like the way you carve a turkey.
Yeah.
Which means that the human being has to suffer every second of, and the fact that you can do that to somebody, I couldn't do that. I'm not kidding. If you took a gun and put it to the head of everybody who I love, I still wouldn't be able to do it. It's so ghastly and subhuman. Yeah. So, like, first of all, people need to understand really what they're dealing with here. But, I mean, these guys are...
I think the horror of it all, for the ones that do understand... let me take that back. For the liberals and whatnot that do seem to acknowledge what they're doing, the horror is too much for their sensibilities. They just can't process it, I think.
Right.
I think they just say, okay, they're bad guys, and they leave it at that. They make almost no distinction between, say, the mafioso killing where they go bam and you're done.
Right.
Like you said, it's over, you don't feel anything, they've blown your brains out. And literally these videos, and by the way, they're on the internet. Let me give you a piece of advice. Don't ever watch those fucking videos.
Don't do it.
I can't watch them. I saw one by accident, and I know it sounds stupid, like how'd you watch it by accident? I watched it by accident. It is something that haunts you for the rest of your life. Like, to literally see someone, you know, face down in the dirt, and they just grab the back of their head, they tilt it back, and they literally just take a Bowie knife, the equivalent of Bowie knife, and they just start cutting the person's head, and there's blood everywhere, and, you know, it is a disturbing, it's not just murder. That's the whole point. It's not just murder. Yeah. It's murder plus the added sort of punch of saying, we want you to go to bed at night with nightmares. Yeah. We want you to go to bed afraid of just even thinking of us. And for a president or an administration to willfully say, you know what the number one priority is when this shit happens? Making sure that three drunken white assholes in Oklahoma don't mistake a Sikh for a Muslim.
And beat them up or something.
Or beat them up in something, okay? Mm-hmm. You know what? Let the police worry about that. You don't have to worry about that in Washington. You really don't. Let the police worry about that. That's why every community has a police department, okay? To prevent shit like that. You don't have to take any energy, Obama, Hillary, Bernie, whoever the fuck it is, to say Americans shouldn't mistake, you know, what they see on TV. We get that, okay? That's what the cops are for. You should focus your energies on making sure that that shit doesn't hit our borders. That's what you should be focusing your energies on. So it makes to me, even though I don't fall for it, Larry doesn't fall for it, people that I think have half a brain don't fall for it, that's why you do have a lot of your white rubes who think Trump is the answer, because, like, he'll tell you what's on his mind, no matter how fucked up it is, he'll come out and tell you. Even Cruz fell for it when he's like, we'll see how sand glows or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay? Because people want to hear that, because after all these years, like, hey, look, say what you want about Bush. He was an idiot. He was. He overspent. He did. He wasn't particularly smart. Okay, fair enough. All right. You know what the one thing he wasn't was? A pussy.
Right.
Okay? Yeah. Call it cowboy diplomacy. Call it whatever the fuck you want, all right? He knew, I think, that right balance with you're not going to fuck with us. Just like Reagan, you're not going to fuck with us.
Right.
It doesn't mean you have to launch nukes.
Right.
It doesn't mean you have to send, like, the Seventh Fleet everywhere.
No.
All right?
But if you do something, there'll be a response.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And people like that don't give in to the political correctness of language. All right? And that, to me, is maybe where we want to be. We don't want to, like you said, we don't need to start sending tactical nukes. We don't have to carpet bomb entire nations, because that way you do lose hearts and minds, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
All right? But you do have to at least acknowledge that this shit is happening.
Right.
Okay?
And you have to do better than having a policy of containment.
It ain't working.
That is not working. I mean, look at it this way. The airstrikes that Obama ordered goes back to now November 2014 or around there, right towards the end of that year. Now it's been going on all 2015. Now here we are in 2016. Well, what the fuck is he containing? We talked about that show, the Spy Masters. Their philosophy is spreading all over the place. This Egyptian airline might be a terrorist attack. We do know about the one in the Belgian airport and the Charlie Hebdo and the 130 killed in France. Plus, you realize, and these are the kind of things that people don't pay attention to. Like, right after that happened, then there was like a series of raids.
Right.
France, Germany, Holland, like all these countries. Then they caught all these people who are like in the planning stages or doing stuff, people that they had their eye on. They decided we better just go in and get them. You know, I mean, the only thing that's coming out of this is at least it looks like finally the Europeans are taking it seriously.
Well, they are and they aren't.
You know,
because they're still playing that fucking game of, you know, look, I saw a tape, somebody had posted it on social media, of these Frenchmen forming vigilante groups against Muslim aggression in Paris. Because these bands of Muslim savages would just go into Paris at night, break into stores, and just take everything they wanted, whether it was Vespas, cars, and somebody caught them on tape, you know, on cell phone, and literally these Frenchmen, masked Frenchmen, showed up with batons and shit, just beating the shit out of... Yeah, no, I mean, good for them. Honestly, good for them. I don't know if Phil can find it, but if he can find it, he'll put it on back there.
I applaud any beating up of criminals.
Yeah, so it was just like they put an end to it, you know. Some countries are starting to vote. In England, don't listen to anybody who tells you there's no such thing as no-go zones for the cops. guess what? There's no go zones for cops. Because if you're a woman and you decide you want to walk and show off your ass in a miniskirt, if you walk through a neighborhood that's predominantly Muslim, odds are you're not coming out alive.
Yeah, well, they have footage of the woman who walked through a neighborhood outside of Paris, and even though nobody physically did anything, a lot of the men walked by and they called her whore and French and dirty and like you're not dressed modestly.
Yeah.
And there's also footage of a Jewish guy who went walking through the some of the Muslims spit at him.
Yeah, yeah.
And they called him Jew and like all these horrible, you know.
And that's in countries where they're immigrants. You know what I'm saying? It's not like in Afghanistan, it's not in Iraq that these things are happening where you might expect that shit to happen. It's happening in Paris. It's happening in London. It's happening in Athens. It's happening in Italy. It's happening everywhere because they are being overrun. Because they've got these stupid open border policies, that's what happens. So all these rubes here see that, and a Trump comes along, and here's where the danger is. Someone like a Trump who comes off honestly sounding like Hitler, I can't put it any other way. I can only imagine that this is what Hitler sounded in 1936 when he ran against Hindenburg or whatever, you know. People forget. Hitler ran for office. Like, he didn't take over in a coup, Larry.
No.
He ran for office.
No, he ran for office.
And he came in second.
And he dictated Mein Kampf while he was in jail, because he's classy.
But the point being is, this is when minds are susceptible to authoritarian bullshit, okay? There's a great Clash song. If you ever get the chance, go listen to it. It's called Clampdown. If you've ever, I know you've heard it, Larry, right?
Yeah.
Go read the lyrics to that. And the other night I was reading the lyrics over to Clampdown, and I swear to God, it sounds like every Trump supporter in this country, talking about putting up posters and unbelievers and shit like that. Read the lyrics to Clampdown by The Clash. Do yourself a favor. And if that doesn't remind you of what's going on now with Trump, because there are people who look you in the eye, and I've had this discussion with Phil over there. He's very upset, and I'm upset at him. We're on the verge of not being friends anymore over this. Where the hatred of Hillary is so great that they will willingly tell you that Trump is a fucking idiot. A goddamn fucking idiot. And yet they're willing to say, I'm going to vote for that because I hate Hillary.
Yeah, but you get that every cycle, though.
Yeah, but not to this extent. This has really been bad for me. Because, look,
well,
last time out...
That's because it's really driving you nuts.
Well,
you have to realize, for a lot of people... They didn't like Mitt Romney. They didn't like Barack Obama. They wanted to be really like. There were people I remember who really didn't like George Bush, and they didn't like Al Gore.
Right.
There were people who didn't like Al Gore, John Kerry, and George Bush, and kind of the beginnings of the whole Bernie thing. You know, when Ralph Nader was running.
Right.
And you know, some of the left, they were looking for a different guy.
Sure.
You know, you've started to see that a lot. I mean, I understand.
But here's the difference. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
here's the difference. But here's the difference. The thing with Trump is that. Before, like, use the last election time, Romney versus Obama, okay? For those of you that remember, I came out and said, I fucking hate Romney.
Yeah.
I don't think Romney is much of anything, okay? But I didn't get the feeling, I never once thought, Romney's a fucking asshole. I never thought that as a person, right? I never thought that Romney represented the end times. As much as I called him, like, white Obama... He's the one who originally, like, the blueprint for Obamacare is Romneycare when he was governor of Massachusetts, okay? So, I never liked Romney. I never liked him politically. I wish we could have picked someone else as a Republican. But the truth of the matter was, I didn't have this visceral, like, I hate Obama so much, I'll even take Romney. It wasn't that, okay? This time out, Penn Jillette, I saw him, he had a great sort of line, Larry, when they asked him who he was going to vote for. And he said he's voting for Gary Johnson or whoever the Libertarian candidate is. And when they asked him why not take the lesser of two evils, he said, taking the lesser of two evils still leads to evil. Okay? And what we've been doing now, like cycle after cycle after cycle, if you're a right-winger, if you're a Libertarian, if you're just somebody who believes in liberty and individual responsibility, here's what's been happening. Your choices have always been the lesser of two evils ever since Reagan left office. Your choices have been the lesser of two evils, right? So it's been Papa Bush or Clinton, right? It's been Clinton or Dole, right? Lesser of two evils, right? Then you say, oh, what about Baby Bush versus Gore? Lesser of Two Evils. Bush versus John Kerry, Lesser of Two Evils. So you're constantly talking about the Lesser of Two Evils, but what you may not be noticing is the entire box where the two evils are in has been moving more and more towards authoritarian statism, okay?
Right.
So right now, if you're a Republican and you say, well, Trump is the Lesser of Two Evils, look at who the Lesser of Two Evils is. Somebody who's to the left of Hillary on many policy issues. He's to the left of Hillary. So your Lesser of Two Evils actually represents someone ideologically that's in some ways a lot worse than Hillary. He's a leftist on economic policy. We said that.
We've pointed
that out on a number of occasions. His interventionism in other people's affairs is going to go through the roof. Even as much of a hawk as Hillary is, she's not as bad as Trump would be, according to what he says he's going to do.
Yeah.
You know? Using the army to negotiate better deals. Like, if he's even halfway serious about that shit.
But the funny thing is, he also claims he was against the Iraq War. And today, I saw him on the show, he said, well, look at Libya. That shows like how bad her judgment is. And like all these things, like you have to realize with Trump, I think the wall and the temporary ban on Muslims, I think that rounded up a lot of blue collar people and like Republicans.
A lot of rubes, yeah, absolutely.
Because they looked at that as like strong and definite. And, you know, I understand what you're saying, but I have to tell you, I really don't want Hillary Clinton to be president.
I don't either.
As much as you hate Trump, that's how much I don't like Hillary Clinton. But I think the problem here is that you're absolutely right on economic policy. Who knows with Trump? I still can't get a handle on him. One minute he's talking about tariffs, then he's talking about deals, then he's talking
printing
about...
printing money?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. John, go watch last week's show. John will explain to you about hyperinflation. It's insane. Like now, on the other hand, I don't think he's going to be able to get a lot of the things he wants because, like, once he gets, even if he gets elected, he's still going to be subject to the morass and this the snail's pace stupidity of D.C.
Well, absolutely,
it's not going to be what he said in the one direction. If I told them to do it, they're going to do it.
Well,
this is not how things work.
But my point is that people who keep telling me it's the lesser of two evils.
Look at
what you're doing now. I say this, Phil says, well, if you vote for Gary Johnson or the Libertarian, you're throwing away your vote, John. You're throwing away your vote. I go, maybe I am, but it's not throwing it away, and I'll tell you why. In 2012, if everyone had listened to me and to Larry and said, vote Gary Johnson, if that poor bastard had gotten 5% nationally, right now in every state, you'd have a viable third alternative.
Sure.
With these two horrible assholes, you would have Gary Johnson or whoever the Libertarian candidate is as your viable alternative in every state ballot. They'd be on every state ballot. They're not this year because, why? In 2012, way too many of us said, well, I'm voting for Romney because he's the lesser of two evils. If you had voted your conscience and voted for somebody, if you're a lover of liberty, I admit there's a lot of people out there that'd rather live on their knees their whole lives, just taking whatever the government gives you, all right? But for those of us that like to think we're still Americans, there is an opportunity to say, let's vote for the Libertarian candidate. And Larry, we just checked a Fox News poll. Yeah. I mean, take it for what it's worth. Gary Johnson polling at 10% nationally.
10%.
In a three-way race, 10%. And he hasn't really advertised. He hasn't really gotten out there. He's only been on Fox News, the Libertarian debate with Stossel.
And that's on their business channel. And who knows how many people even know who he is outside of Libertarians in New Mexico.
Think about that. That's 10% of people saying they're going to vote Johnson. Now, because of where those people might be located, it may not translate to 10% of the electoral vote or whatever.
And you have to point out that his support is, some of it is, I mean, look, I'm registered Libertarian, so I get it, but you know, the problem is, clearly a lot of it is just people who just don't want to vote for those two.
Exactly.
Because their negatives are so high. I mean, depending on which poll you go by, Hillary is in the mid-50s negative, and Trump is even slightly higher.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, then, you look, the other polls that came out today, Trump beating her by 2 points, Trump beating her by 5, but the New York Times said Hillary is winning by 6, but that is closed because it was like a month ago, it was like 10 or 11 or something, you know.
There's a lot of things in flux, but before we go on to the Democratic issues, let's just finish off the Libertarian thing because I think it's important.
Okay.
Go vote. If he's on your ticket, it's not a wasted vote to vote Libertarian because I guarantee you, I'm saving, I'm putting this tape of us two in a fucking time capsule for 2020. Who knows if we're going to be alive or not. But in 2020, mark my words, you're going to be sitting here discussing who to vote for. President Trump or the Democratic candidate Elizabeth Warren. I guarantee you, you're going to have a fucking socialist cunt versus an authoritarian presidential cunt. And you're going to be sitting there saying, where's my third alternative? Why can't I get somebody viable? And then I'll say, vote Libertarian. You'll be, that'll be throwing your vote away again. You're going to be saying the same thing in 2020, because I guarantee you, the whole box is going to move towards statism again. And the lesser of two evils is going to be either Drumpf or Elizabeth Warren. Right. I guarantee you. Because that is the way they're presenting it to you. By they, I don't even know who the fuck is they. But my point is, now, the lesser of two evils, constantly moving towards statism. And one of the things, Larry, we have to try to get across to our viewers, it's not left or right anymore. It really isn't. It's not liberal or conservative or anything like that. You know what it is? It's liberty versus non-liberty. If you view things in that sort of...
That narrative, that dichotomy,
then the choices become very clear. Do you want someone who will consistently tell you what to do? Who will consistently put limits on how you can achieve? Or do you want a government that says, our job mainly is to protect you?
Right.
And that's it. Mainly, we're here to protect you. Once you start viewing things in that, instead of left and right, you know why? Because fucking Drumpf is a Republican, allegedly, but he's going to increase the power of the federal government. He's stated it.
Yeah.
He's anti-constitution. I know he released the name of judges he wants to name to SCOTUS that basically came from Cato's like list,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cato's list. You know, they are all conservative judges. So if he plans on sticking to those, I stand corrected and I'll say he's made some good choices. Who the fuck knows if he plans on sticking to it or not? But fair enough. But what I'm trying to say is he has already said he's not a constitutionalist, all right? He wants to roll back the First Amendment. He says he wants to keep the Second Amendment, that is, Second Amendment rights, that is. He's against the 14th Amendment. He's against, he's pro-eminent domain. That stupid wall of his is going to require the government to steal people's private property. There's no other way to build it. First of all, it can't be built. But even if you did try to build that piece of shit, you have to steal people's land to do it. Private property. Long stretches of the Texas-Mexico border are private property. They're not federal land, Larry. Okay? So you've got Trump, who supposedly is the alternative to the liberal Hillary. That whole fucking box of choices for you just got pushed all the way over to big government.
Yeah.
And you're people who say he's the lesser of two evils, like Phil over there, what happens is the lesser of two evils is still evil. Penn Jillette hit it right on the head. Bravo, Penn. Okay? The lesser of two evils is still an evil. So my last part on the soapbox, go vote for Gary Johnson. If he's the Libertarian candidate. If he's not the Libertarian candidate, vote for Austin Peterson. If he's the Libertarian candidate, I like that kid. 35 years old, his answer to everything is look it up in the Constitution. Like, no matter what whatever they told him at that debate, Larry, it was like, well, the Constitution says, and you know what? God bless him. That's what we should all be saying. What does the Constitution say about this?
Yeah.
That's really should be the response to like 95% of all questions. Let's look at the Constitution.
Yeah. Now, also, staying with our political theme, this past week, Kentucky and Oregon had primaries for the Democrats. Hillary wins Kentucky, Bernie wins Oregon. Okay.
Right.
He's closing in California. All right. Now, here's the thing. In Nevada, they had their primary convention. Okay. The lady who is the head of the Democratic Party, she's the state chairwoman. She's a volunteer. Okay. She works at a restaurant, apparently. So. And the Bernie people had a bit of a freak out. And they started booing Barbara Boxer, who actually was like kind of taken aback by it. And she started yelling into the microphone, "If you boo me, you're booing Bernie Sanders." And they kept booing. They threw some chairs. And then apparently this woman was the head of it. She started getting death threats. Somebody attacked her husband. But I think it was just like shoving and pushing. But the Bernie people, a little out of control. Then there was footage of a reporter asking Bernie about it. And he didn't denounce it and put it down right away. Then later on, he was making a speech. He said, look, the violence is wrong and it's got to stop. But the interesting thing with the Democrats now is we had the clown car with the Republicans. We talked about a contested convention. Right. It'd been going on for months, not just here. And the Democrats, there was no talk about that. And it was supposed to be, you know, eventually Bernie would have to just drop out because he's mathematically, he's not in, he doesn't have the superdelegates because it's rigged, all that stuff, right? Okay. Now, fast forward to today, Cruz is out, everybody's right. out. So Trump is going to get the nomination. It's just a matter of time here. He's going to go over 1236.
Right, 1237.
1237, excuse me. 1236 is what I was hoping he'd get to.
Yeah, that would
be so I could laugh at it.
Can you get a heart attack?
But now, Hillary actually also yesterday, she came out and called for Bernie to drop out. And that did not go over very well with Bernie, who goes, he's taking it all the way to Philadelphia. The secretary go fuck you. He did like one of his, you know, he's doing this like he's conducting an orchestra.
Right.
He's not dropping out.
Yeah.
And his supporters are really belligerent, and they're angry. And a couple of shows ago, I talked about that there had been some articles that 25% of Bernie people were Bernie or bust.
Yeah.
Then there was another article that said it's like more like a third. Now on the show, I said it's 50%. I'm going to wind up having to revise that up to like 75. These people are so pissed off, and they absolutely hate Hillary Clinton. They can't stand it. They're calling her Trump light, and that she's a Wall Street owned by Wall Street, just like him.
Right.
And you know he's still out there killing it with the super PAC and the speeches at Goldman Sachs that she won't release. And her donations from Walmart, or again, all these different things. And now the Clinton Foundation thing is coming up, and she's got the email thing going on. And somebody told me that one of the reasons he's staying in and he's doing it is they actually think now that the FBI might come forward and do something, and that she's going to really take a big hit on this. But just the politics of it is, you know, I used to say that at one point, it was good that he stayed in, because O'Malley fell off, and Chafee fell off, and Webb fell off. And it gives her somebody to fight with, to battle with, to do the debates with. It makes you a better candidate. You're sharp. It actually helped Trump, who, you know, is a complete novice. So now, but here's what's happening. Now, Bernie is no longer doing that. He's no longer just making it that she's a better candidate. He's actually bludgeoning her now. And her numbers are going down. Her negatives are going up.
Right.
And his supporters are really out there, and they're very aggressive. And, you know, he picked up Oregon. He's won now 20 or 21 states, whether they be primaries or caucuses. I mean, what does that tell you? This isn't a flash in the pan, people.
And I think that you're absolutely right. And what's going to what's happening is what we said at the very start of this.
Right.
At the very start of the campaign, which was there's always this chance that Bernie sneaks in if one of two things happens. The first thing that could happen is, like you mentioned, what if there's an FBI indictment for this bitch,
right?
Which all of us kind of think she deserves, right? Not to go all drunk on you, but we all kind of, with a wink and a nod, know that she's done something wrong somewhere. Yeah. Whether it's Benghazi or the server or the IRS or whatever the fuck it is, she's done something wrong, going all the way back to possibly, allegedly, in some rumors, killing Vince Foster.
No.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Okay. But that's my point. She's a dirty politician. Okay?
Yeah, she's crooked.
Now, that's the first thing that we said could derail him if the FBI steps in. Short of the FBI, we said the second thing that could happen is that if the Sanders train all of a sudden started picking up momentum at the end, you win 3 out of every 4 states. Because remember, he needed 75% of the electable delegates to win, right? If he starts winning 3 out of 4, 3 out of 4, 3 out of 4, a lot of those superdelegates are going to do to Hillary what they did in 2008, which is jump ship. People forget, Hillary was ahead of Obama heading in towards the last part of that campaign initially, and then she started losing those.
Yeah, the last third, she started slowly
losing those superdelegates.
Hemorrhaging delegates to Obama. The only thing.
Hemorrhaging.
Hemorrhaging.
That's not meant to be a period joke.
Oh, there you go.
No, she just started losing those superdelegates to Obama. You're right. Because those superdelegates don't want to be on the... People forget, or maybe some people don't, but those superdelegates are party insiders. They're people in Congress. Like, who's that guy in Minnesota? Al Franken. Al Franken.
Yeah.
who came out and said, I don't care what the people of Minnesota want. I know better. They want Hillary. Yeah. Okay? That encapsulates the whole superdelegate mentality on the Democratic side, which is they are there to make sure that their insider wins or to give them every possible shot of winning.
Yeah, and make sure that the ignorant masses don't fuck up and pick somebody we don't like.
Yeah, and honestly, when you see someone like Trump, even a libertarian like me starts to wonder whether the people should vote for someone if they're voting for Trump, right? But anyway, so now you have Hillary supporters who may now say, holy shit, this guy Sanders. And if he wins California...
Oh, my God.
If he wins California, you might start seeing half of these superdelegates start to say, fuck it.
I mean, and add to the fact that she's trailing Trump now in polls, but Bernie beats him by 10 points.
Yeah.
So you have to realize at the end of the day, you know, they want to be with a winner.
Sanders is the Trump of the left, right? And honestly, I've said this. If I was so disaffected with the system, like, forget, you said to yourself, I don't care about parties, I fucking hate the system, I hate Washington, D.C., I hate gridlock and shit like that, I want an outsider type of person. The person I'd be voting for would be Sanders, for one reason. He's as fucking outside as you can get in terms of his policies, all right? The second thing is, he's held elected office, so he's just enough of an insider to know how things work.
Right. He's been a mayor, he's been a congressman,
he's been a senator. Yeah. So he knows how shit works, but no one can ever accuse him of being part of the machine, all right? So if I was of that stupid mentality that I want someone with, like, to be as outside as possible, at least I'd vote for Sanders, because at least I disagree with all his policies, obviously, but at least I can count on him not to walk around saying stupid shit like, if I tell him to do something, they're going to do it. Okay.
I have to tell you, though, this is like a real twilight zone for me.
Isn't it?
Because I've known John forever. And in this cycle, I've heard him say, I vote for Joe Biden. I prefer Hillary over Trump or whatever.
Yeah.
And now Bernie Sanders, the socialist. These are all people.
No, I'm saying.
John Biden. I know. I'm
not.
It's just funny to me because I know how you really feel about these fucking
people. But if you're looking right, it's not Hillary that you want. It's not, what's this, the guys that were there before it.
Chafee Webb
and those guys.
Not O'Malley. None
of those guys, as nice as they were. That's not the whole point. Bernie represents your Trump. He's your Trump if you're on the left. And I keep telling to a lot of those cat drivers and fucking trailer park rubes running around stumping for Trump, is like, if you listen to most of his policies, they're not too far off from Bernie's. They really aren't. Single payer health care.
Mm-hmm. Pro-choice on abortion, always for gay rights. He, for a long time, he mentioned he was for universal health care.
But Trump.
Yeah.
Trump.
This is Trump. Actually, the only thing that really separates from them is the wall and the temporary.
The racism. The racism is what separates them. It's basically what it comes down to.
Racism is harsh.
Harsh, yes.
But you're absolutely right. Bernie is, that man on the left. But you know what? This is what I always tell them. See, this is what happens when the system doesn't work well, because people start looking for solutions elsewhere. And the problem with all this now, which is making it, I mean, for me, this is actually very entertaining, because I can't stand Hillary Clinton. So I'm enjoying watching the fact that Bernie is driving her nuts. And the funny thing is, now, and even all the liberals, all these shows that I watch, the magazines I read online, they're all admitting the same thing. Now, for about the past month and a half, it's really been personal. It's really been personal. Bernie doesn't like the way he's been treated. He doesn't like Debbie Wasserman Schultz there, whatever, Wasserman Schultz. She's rigged this whole thing since day one. They tried to get the superdelegates on board early. They put the fucking debates on in the middle of the night when nobody was watching.
Right.
They put like one on against the Super Bowl.
And like three of them only.
Yeah. And the format was all like, you know, he had to share the stage with those other three guys who eventually dropped out. But what I always tell people, because I watch all these fucking things, and if you watch the earlier debates, one of the things that really upset him, and I know why he's so mad now.
Yeah.
If you watch those early debates, he was being incredibly nice.
Yeah.
Incredibly deferential.
Yes.
I agree with the secretary. He's doing all that. But even despite that, I don't give a damn about her emails. Yeah. despite that, two or three times during the debate, she would still take a shot at him. She would still insult him. I remember at one point she goes, well, I didn't vote for a gun law in Vermont like Senator Sanders did. And I remember at one point he went, just like you know, it's that like, really? I'm being like incredibly nice to you and you bitch slap me? Like, and I think at this point he realizes he should have worked the email thing earlier instead of actually dismissing it, because that would actually have helped them here. But see, now it's totally personal. So the other day she said he should drop out, and he goes, I've got bad news for the secretary. I'm not going anywhere. You know, he almost sounds a little bit like Nixon sometimes.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
He's not going anywhere, and it's totally personal. And God, my God, if he wins California.
That's what I'm saying.
Cow.
Like, if the momentum trade, like, look, the people supporting Hillary as superdelegates, I mean, are not supporting her because they like her. They're not supporting her because they think she's the best hope.
They don't
want to
wind up like Vince Foster.
Yeah. They don't want to allegedly end up face down in a park in Washington. All right? Or they're doing that out of deference to Bill Clinton, who, let's face it, was the last best Democratic president.
Well, he was okay.
But I mean, if you go back and look at Democratic presidents,
you've got
Obama, who sucks a dick.
Sucks.
Jimmy Carter, one of the worst presidents ever.
Lyndon Johnson, asshole redneck,
who started the whole war on poverty bullshit,
and got us into Vietnam.
Yeah, and got us deeper into Vietnam.
But he said, "Well, I'll never send American boys over to fight a war that Asian boys should fight for themselves."
Right.
And then he got elected, and he sent 10,000 troops over.
Yeah.
Like,
and what else about Johnson? The war on poverty and the Civil Rights Act that he swore would never be used for affirmative action.
Yeah.
And he also said that the war on poverty will eliminate poverty in our lifetime. And now we're $3 trillion into that program. And poverty has only improved 2%.
2%. It's gone from 17% over to
15%. Since
1965. That's the return on your investment?
Suck a dick.
Get rid of all of them. Capitalism for everyone.
Right.
Sink or swim. Go.
So, and like, even Kennedy... People are, like, a little reticent to fucking shit on him because he was assassinated. He wasn't all that great either when you look at how his term was.
Yeah, he might have been forgotten in time, like an Eisenhower or something.
By the way, economically,
had he not been killed.
Economically, he was okay. He believed in the low capital gains tax and shit like that. But people forget, he's the one who got us into Vietnam, and he also...
He was very anti-communist.
He was anti-communist.
He said at one point they should actually be arrested here.
I agree he was anti-communist, but he was incompetent. Because when you look at it, the whole Cuban Missile Crisis that he allegedly saved us from,
that was botched.
That's because he fucked that up. The Bay of Pigs, I don't have to, like, when you listen to your little brother tell you how to do shit, that's what happens. So, like, you end up with the Bay of Pigs.
Of course,
anyway.
The worst part about it, my family were big fans of Marilyn Monroe, so fuck you.
And of course, I don't even have to tell you how bad FDR was, who fucked up the country and put it on the road to socialism.
Only Truman.
Truman, yes.
Truman. I like Truman. You know why? I think he was the Ronald Reagan of his time.
And for a Democrat, he was pretty good. So ironically, my father, when he was still alive, used to ask him, like, who are you voting for? And he would vote for Reagan. He loved Bush, by the way. Baby Bush. My father loved him because he said, now they know not to fuck with us. You know, my father was an ex-commando. So he, you know, he really appreciated the, like, nobody's going to fuck with us routine. But my point is, but he stayed a registered Democrat his whole life.
Yeah.
And the reason was that when he came to this country in 1948, the president was Truman.
Right.
And Truman was the guy that he thought was a great president. He said, look what he did for Europe and... the Marshall Plan and like all that stuff, right? And the irony of it is that was basically the last decent Democratic president that my father ever saw in this country, right?
Yeah.
Because it was Truman. But Clinton, let's give him props. Balanced the budget.
Yeah, he did a quality job.
And the
economy was strong enough.
Yeah. The fact that he decided to stick his dick in anything that moved.
And the fact that now that he's taking such heat for the crime bill.
Yeah.
And his wife is apologizing. But I think the crime bill was awesome.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And he signed on for 7 out of 10 of Newt Gingrich's contract with America.
No,
he knew how to work with
people.
He was,
in my mind, he was the last moderate president. Like a true moderate president. On some things he was liberal, on some things he was a lot more conservative than people get. And fiscally, look, whether you give Gingrich any credit or not, I don't know, and I don't really care. The point is, between the two of them, they got shit done.
Yeah.
All right? But that being the case, when you look at all these Democrats that have been put up for president now, Hillary, you think, is going to end the streak of loser Democrats? Those superdelegates don't want that. They're doing it out of respect for Bill, I can guarantee you, okay? Yeah.
Also for her, in the sense that, you know, maybe they feel like she got screwed 8 years ago, or they bagged on her at the last second, or they, you know, something
happened. Or the woman thing. Let's be honest. It might be the woman thing that they, you know, okay, as Democrats, we made history by electing the first half-black president. Let's make history again by electing the first cunt president.
Yeah.
And that might be the case. I don't know, okay? Because they're not electing, like, a woman. They're electing a cunt. And basically, also, they're electing someone that they hate on a personal level.
Yeah.
None of these people, I don't know for sure. Let me just qualify it by saying this. I don't know for sure. But my guess is that a lot of them don't find her personable at all.
No. I mean, look, how can she have such high negatives? I mean, for God's sakes, I know she's been around long enough, which could lend itself to people being around. But at this point, especially for a Democrat, where most of the people in this country are registered, the majority are Democrats, it's like Democrats, Republicans, then actually independents is nearby, she should be doing better.
It's amazing when you think
she should really be doing better.
It's amazing when you think that, typically speaking, no party would be supporting somebody with this high negatives. And it's not like she just picked up those negatives. She had those negatives coming into the election.
Yeah.
And they already know her negatives from the previous run when she ran against Obama in the primary. So it's not like she's an unknown quantity. She's got negatives at the wazoo. And if it wasn't for those superdelegates, she really may not have even been supported. Look at Wasserman Schultz. She is like flat out, like she has to fight Huma for box space, I think. Okay? Allegedly. My point being is that it's in the bag for her. Like, anything could be in the bag for a politician, it should have been for her.
Yeah, this is, look, I know it comes from Trump, but the rigged thing is not wrong.
No, that part is
now, right. That he nailed. I mean, you gotta give him that. And, you know, but the funny things that are going on in politics right now, like right now, the Republicans, believe it or not, are rallying behind Trump. They said today something like 84% of just registered Republicans said, look, he's winning, he's in first, if he gets the nomination, the party's got to get behind him and support him. They're rallying behind him. And the ultimate, Lindsey Graham, who's had nothing good to say about Donald Trump, has insulted him, he's not qualified, he's not, he actually called Trump yesterday, and according to Trump, they had a fantastic conversation. So even Lindsey Graham is getting on board. And you know why? Because they're like Phil. They can't stand Hillary Clinton. Let me tell you something. They can't stand Hillary Clinton. Like, I understand what you were saying about the lesser of two evils. But you have to realize, the people, and I have people in my family like this, the people who support him, here's their thing. They just had 8 years of Obama. Now, I can tell you from my own people that I know, can't stand him. They think this has been just awful.
Right.
8 years, they think, as I always say, the amateur hour for the past 8 years. And the concept of 4 to 8 more years are pretty much the same thing, maybe slightly different, but another Democrat, you could be looking at 12 or 16 years. They're like, fuck it, I'm going to roll the dice on Herb Trump. So he's picking up that. And now, the funny thing, last week, we were doing a show. I told you, this is going to narrow very quickly. Because the initial polls had her ahead by like 12 points. I said, it's going to narrow. Sure enough, neck and neck. And now he's even ahead. But he gets killed by Bernie. Yeah. So it's going to be very, very interesting to see how all this plays out.
Yeah. Larry's right. Very.
Yep. It's going to be really. It's going to be. It's, and it's going to be nasty. That's the other thing. This campaign is really going to be just awful. I can tell you right now. My analogy for this is if you've ever seen like the original Ghostbusters, and Bill Murray's walking down the hallway in the hotel, and that poltergeist attacks him. Then you see Dan Aykroyd running, and he's lying there on the ground. And he goes. He's slimy. And he's got all that shit all over. That's what this campaign is going to be. I'm telling you right now.
Oh.
It's going to be so vicious.
Thank you, Larry, for mentioning that. I want to end the show off of that great comment by saying, are you out of your fucking minds remaking Ghostbusters with a bunch of fat broads?
Oh, my God.
What's going on with you people? I don't understand. Have you seen the trailers for that?
No, but I know who's in it.
It's McCarthy's like Melissa McCarthy. The one from Saturday Night Live. Oh, what's her name?
Ada Brant, the heavy chick.
No, is that the black chick?
No. The heavy white chick, Ada Brant. Oh, no, there's that big...
The big black chick. I don't know her name. I'm sorry for characterizing her as the big black chick, but yeah. I don't know her name. No, the one that was also in Bridesmaids.
Yeah, I know.
The
blonde. McKinnon?
I don't remember her name. I see her in my head, but I can't remember the name. Maybe Phil will pop up the picture. But anyway, I just saw the trailer for this. It is fucking horrible. Like, stereotypical black, sassy black lady lines. Sassy fat black lady lines in the movie. Like, I don't know if this is racial or what, you know. Or if it's a woman thing. You know, it's like, oh.
You know what it reminds me of, based on what you're telling me? It reminds me of when they did a black remake of The Odd Couple.
Oh, The Odd Couple, and the Honeymooners.
The guy from from Sanford and Son, who played the son. And they got Ron Harris, who was on Barney Miller. And they were supposed to be Felix and Oscar. It was so painful to watch. I mean,
But in fairness, the remake with the two white guys on now pretty much sucks, too.
There's a remake with two white
guys? Yeah, it's on The Odd Couple, and it's with the guy who was on Friends.
Schwimmer?
No, the guy who played Chandler on Friends. What was his name?
Oh,
Matthew Perry. And the other guy is, I think, the guy from Reno 911.
The guy who
played like
I don't know that was
Lieutenant Dongle or Dingle or whatever the fuck his name was. Like, if you see him, you know who it is.
Yeah.
Horrible show. So yeah, that's the other thing. We'll save it for another episode, but we have to talk about the state of comedy one of these days.
Yeah.
It's really bad. But anyway. Glad you could join us, ladies and gentlemen, for this show, which Larry, I think, was one long rant. I don't even know where the time went.
Yes.
It wasn't
as tangent oriented as we normally make.
And thanks to Phil moving everything around in this fucking studio. I can't even tell you how long this show has been. Larry, I can't even see the clock.
1 hour exactly.
Yeah, well, see? That's inbred timing then, because I have no idea how long it was. But anyway, until next week, when hopefully we'll find out another reason as to why to rant on Drumpf. This has been your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo Larry M.
Peace, America.
Peace of this.
Join us every week at theriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. This is Mark, the man with a golden voice, and my testicles are killing me.